All right, that was outstanding. We praise the Lord for it. I want you to turn to the book of Nehemiah chapter 5. Nehemiah chapter 5, it's good to have the Russ family here with us. They're visiting with the Webb family, I believe. So God bless you folks. We're glad you're here. I feel sorry for you, you know, for the pastor you have, but other than that, everything's doing okay. Amen, Brother Webb? Amen. Good. I'm in one of those moods this morning, you know. Nehemiah chapter 5, verse number 14. I'm going to conclude a message. Believe it or not, I started, I think, 2 or 3 weeks ago. It's been a while. Praise the Lord for it. How the Lord's been working and moving. Nehemiah chapter 5, verse 14. Nehemiah speaking. Moreover, from the time that I was appointed to be governor in the land of Judah, from the 20th year even unto the 2 and 30th year of Artaxerxes the king, that is 12 years, I and my brethren have not eaten the bread of the governor, but the former governors that had been before me were chargeable unto the people, and taken of them bread and wine, beside 40 shekels of silver, yea, even their servants bear rule over the people. But so did not I, because of the fear of God. Yea, also I continued in the work of this wall, neither bought we any land, and all my servants were gathered thither unto the work. Over there were at my table 150 of the Jews and rulers, beside those that came unto us from among the heathen that are about us. Now that which was prepared for me daily was 1 ox and 6 choice sheep. Also fowls were prepared for me, and once in 10 days store of all sorts of wine. Yet for all this required not I the bread of the governor, because the bondage was heavy upon this people. Think upon me, my God, for good, according to all that I've done for this people. Let's pray together, and I'm going to conclude a message this morning on lessons to learn from. Lessons to learn from. Let's pray together. We'll share this thought with you. Father, we love you. Thank you for this morning. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. Help me now. Strengthen my body. May the will of God be done. Forgive my sins. Help me to be a clean vessel for you to flow through. And Lord, may you be honored and glorified and praised. May you bind Satan away from this place. If somebody's in this church but does not know Christ, may today be the glorious day when they accept you as their Savior. Please do your will, we pray. And may you not be hindered in any way. Forgive me, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. The last couple of messages we had in this glorious book of Nehemiah, as we've been preaching through it, were found in chapter 4. Now, in those two messages, we dealt with overcoming opposition and dealing with discouragement. Now, throughout this book, we've seen Nehemiah hearing about and later seeing the great need of rebuilding the broken down wall. He gathers the people and begins to share his burden, which in turn the people catch the vision. They get burdened and begin to build their own section of the wall. As they work, the opposition grows and is trying to stop the progress they're making. They are building, get it, and they are battling. Now we've come to chapter 5 and we see yet another attack on the work of God taking place. However, this time it's not coming from the outside, but rather it's coming from the inside. And as I study this passage, there are 3 major things that I see that we can all learn from. And therefore, the message is lessons to learn from. Now, we've already given you 2 of these. Let me just go back and tap them on the head. Then we'll give you the major message for this morning, which is point number 3. First of all, we notice the major lesson learned from was the cry of the people. In verses 1 through 5, in a nutshell, what's going on, and this is all repetitive, there are large families in a famine paying high taxes with large interest rates with no relief in sight. They cannot feed their own children. They cannot pay their taxes, and their children are being taken as collateral. Now, in the midst of this, some of their own people who had money were taking advantage of their disadvantage. They were being greedy. Now, we learn from this, the major lesson we learn from here is that when God's children are having a hard time, other Christians should not take advantage of their hard times, but they should rather reach out and help to bring them out. Greed is a sin that is displeasing in the sight of Almighty God. As a matter of fact, it's what got Achan in trouble, Ananias and Sapphira in trouble, and it'll get you in trouble if you're greedy this morning. The second major thing we learn from is the confrontation of the sin. We notice now, here, the cry of the people, now the confrontation of the sin in verses 6 through 13. Now, in these verses, we see the heart of the man of God came shining through. When Nehemiah heard about these people taking advantage of their brethren, he confronted this for what it was. He called it sin.
Now, in a Christian's life, there is a time to remain silent. However, there comes a time to confront something that is wrong. Now, this is one of those times, and what we learn from this confrontation, again, I'm just repeating this, bringing us back up to date. We notice that there's nothing wrong with becoming angry with sin, because Nehemiah got angry, yet he did not sin in his anger. Secondly, we notice that sin needs to be confronted. Thirdly, we looked at that we should point others to the fear of God. Then we noticed that we should remind others that the heathen are watching. We should encourage others along with ourselves to live in obedience to the Word of God. We should encourage others to make things right immediately and not delay. We need to hold others accountable, and we need to remind people of the judgment of God that will await in the future. Now, I've already preached that message. If I went too fast, I did it on purpose. It's all recorded. You can go back and get it. Now, major point number three, which is my message today. Lessons to learn from. The cry of the people. The confrontation of the sin. Number three, the character of the leader. Boy, like this. In verses 14 through 19, we notice one thing comes shining through about Nehemiah. He was a leader with character. You know, in this last section of this chapter, we see Nehemiah placing himself on display for these people to see. Now, at the same time, we see the Holy Spirit of God is placing this in His Word for our learning and our admonition. Now, as we read these verses of Scripture, there's one thing that I've already said that comes shining through about Nehemiah. He was a man of character. Now, listen to this. Reputation is what you're supposed to be. Character is what you really are. Reputation is what you is what you have when you come to a new community. Character is what you have when you leave it. Think about it. Reputation is made in a moment. Character is built in a lifetime. Reputation grows like a mushroom. Character grows like an oak tree. Your reputation is learned in an hour. Your character, it does not come to light for a year. A single newspaper report gives your reputation. A life of toil gives your character. Reputation makes you rich or makes you poor. Character makes you happy or makes you miserable. Reputation is what men say about you on your tombstone. Character is what God says about you when you see Him face to face. Your reputation is what men think you are. Your character is what God knows you are. D.L. Moody said, character is what a man or woman is in the dark. Powerful statement. Abraham Lincoln said this, fame is a vapor, popularity an accident, riches take wings. Only one thing endures, and that is character. Another man said this, it's not what he has or even what he does, which directly expresses the worth of a man, but what he is. Make no mistakes about it. This leader named Nehemiah was a man of true godly character. Boy, we need this in America. We need character among God's leaders today. I want to be a man of character. And I'm not saying that I'm anything to boast about. Somebody say amen right there. I hope it's not my wife. Praise God. But the fact of the matter is this. I'm not lifting myself up, but God knows in my heart I want to be a man of character. And you young people, you ought to determine that you're going to be a teenager with character. You ought to determine you're going to be a husband with character, a wife with character, a boss with character, a pastor with character, a bus captain with character. I'm talking about a Sunday school teacher with character. Why don't you determine that you're going to be a leader that has character? Now let's look at this together. There's actually four things we see about Nehemiah that shows that he truly was a man, a leader with character. First of all, under this, we see it in that he denied himself. We see this in verses 14 and 15. Look at it again. Moreover, from the time that I was appointed to be governor in the land of Judah, from the 20th year, even unto the 2 and 30th year of Artaxerxes the king, that is 12 years, I and my brethren have not eaten the bread of the governor. But the former governors that had been before me were chargeable unto the people, and had taken of them bread and wine beside 40 shekels of silver, yea, even their servants bear rule over the people. But so did not I, because of the fear of God. Now in these verses, we see how Nehemiah refused to be taken care of by the people, which was his given right and privilege. Now get this, he had every right to live off these people. But in this, we see him giving up, now get this, we see him giving up his own dues in order not to oppress the people. See, these people are living in pressure. They are being oppressed. They need the money. And even though it was his right to take it from them, he refused it. This tells me that he said no to himself. in order that he may take care of others. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. We need that attitude. You know, we are living in a country that says, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. And God's will is not for you to say, give me, but who can I give to? We notice here that he is a man of character in that he denied himself. Now, the lesson we learn here is if we're going to be the Christian that God wants us to be, we must be a person who is willing to deny ourselves and follow the Lord. This is what true leadership's all about. Matthew 16, 24, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. The ultimate example of this is found in the Lord Jesus Christ himself. In the book of Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, get this. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. And took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. What am I saying? We see Nehemiah was truly a man of character, in that number one, he denied himself. Question, are you living for self, or are you living for others? Nehemiah was living for others. Secondly, he was a man of character, not only in that he denied himself, but number two, in that he lived in the fear of God. We see this in verse number 15. Notice it. But the former governors that had been before me were chargeable unto the people, had taken of them bread and wine beside 40 shekels of silver, yea, even their servants bare rule over the people. But notice this, but so did not I, because of the fear of God. You know, one thing to note about this mighty leader is the reason he lived the way he did. Now, was he a godly man? Yes or no? Sure he was. Was he a man of character? Sure he was. Did he have the right to take this money from these people? Yes. But he knew if he did that God would not be pleased with it. I'm telling you, this is one of the secrets to the Christian life. He lived the way he lived due to his fear of the Lord. Someone has said we adjust our conduct to the one we want to please. And boy, isn't that the truth. John Butler said where the fear of God is present, rulers will be considerate and have character in their performance. But where the fear of God is lacking, rulers will be cruel, greedy, and oppress the people. This is what we see about Nehemiah that lets us see one major reason he was such a wonderful leader of character. He truly feared God. Nehemiah was living life with the Lord in view. And because of his fear of God, it made a difference in the things he did and the things he did not do. As a matter of fact, this is not only missing in leaders today, it's missing in Christians' lives too. I'm going to tell you something, folks. We need a steady dose of the fear of God in this place. I'm talking about we do what we do because we fear God. We don't do that because we fear God. People have lost the fear of God in their eyes. The Word of God tells us in the book of Romans, you don't need to turn to it for time's sake. I'm spitting all over myself up here. Romans chapter number 3. Listen to this in verse number 10. Notice this. As it's written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understands. By the way, I love to preach. Good night, I love what I'm doing. Preached 19 times in 12 days and loved every single solitary moment of it. And I love what I listen, call Brian Sam. Tell him I'm preaching tonight. Praise God. Amen. I'm glad I like what I'm doing. Excuse me. I don't like it. I love it. I love to preach. And by the way, preaching this old blessed book, this still gets the job done, folks. We're seeing people saved, lives changed. If we give the Word of God out, God gets the job done, and we can see something for God. 30 people trusted Christ in 2 weeks. Isn't that great? Praise God for it. Amen. I feel good up here today. Praise the Lord. As it's written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They're together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. Question, are they in pretty bad shape here? Sure, but listen to verse number 18. Why? There is no fear of God before their eyes. As a matter of fact, in the Word of God, we see another leader who did not fear the Lord. His name was Pharaoh in the time of Moses. Now, one would think that after seven plagues, now I know there were ten, but after seven of them, you would think that Pharaoh would have submitted to the Lord. But the following verse tells us why he didn't. Exodus chapter 9, verse 30. After seven of the ten plagues, here's what it says. God says, "But as for thee and thy servants, I know that ye will not yet fear the Lord God." Ecclesiastes 12, 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. If you fear God, you'll fear nobody else. Did you hear what I just said? You may tell you why a lot of teenagers are living the way they're living? Because they're afraid of what their peers might think about them. You may tell you why some people are afraid to go soul winning? Because they're afraid of what they might run into right behind that door. You know what that tells me? We need a steady dose of the fear of Almighty God. When you fear God, you fear nothing else. You fear God, you fear nobody else. And I'm telling you, this man, Nehemiah, was a man of godly character. We see in that he denied himself. We see in that he lived in the fear of God. But we see it also, number three, in that he worked on the wall. We see this in verse number 16. Notice his language. "Yea, also I continued in the work of this wall. Neither bought we any land, and all my servants were gathered thither unto the work." Question. Was Nehemiah trying to get the people to work on this wall? Yes or no? Sure he was. But it's interesting to note that Nehemiah did not exempt himself from this work. See, this was the will of God for him as well as for the people. See, here's the point I'm trying to get across here. He didn't tell everybody else to get involved while he went on vacation. You see what I'm saying? This goes to show that he was a leader with character. He was not unwilling to get down and get his hands dirty. He was not a hypocrite, telling others what should be done but not doing it himself. He was involved in this great work himself. Now, in the same way, get this. We need leaders today who will not only lead others into the will of God, but will make sure they are in the center of God's will as well. You know, it's easy to tell others that you ought to be knocking on doors, but question, are you knocking on them? It's easy to tell others you need to be reading the Bible every day. Question, are you reading it every day? It's easy to tell people you need to be praying every day. Question, are you praying every day? It's easy to tell people as men, you need to treat your wife right. But are you, dear sir, treating your wife right? I'm telling you, it is easy to tell others you need to be doing this. But Nehemiah was a man that said, this is the will of God for your life. We need to build this wall. And by the way, I'm continuing to build this wall myself. That is a major point right there. I'm telling you, he was a man who worked on the wall. He did not pass the buck. He did not say, I'll put this to the ones that are below me. He said, nobody's below me. I'm among you. God has raised me up as the leader, but this is the will of God for my life as well as your life. Will you help me? And let's build it together. That is a true leader. That's a true leader. Lesson here is that we need to be doing the work of God ourselves and not be guilty of hypocrisy. There's five things. I thought there was four. Let me give you the fourth one here. We're noticing the character of the leader in that he denied himself, in that he lived in the fear of God. He worked on the wall, but number four, he cared and he sacrificed for the people. We see this in verses 17 and 18. Look at it. "Moreover, there were at my table 150 of the Jews and rulers beside those that came unto us from among the heathen that are about us. Now that which was prepared for me daily was one ox and six choice sheep, also 10 days' store of all sorts of wine. Yet for all this required not I the bread of the governor, because the bondage was heavy upon this people." Now, while the greedy Jews cruelly used these trying times to get gain for themselves, Nehemiah did just the opposite. He saw this heavy burden that these people were under, and he refused to charge the people taxes. Now, in this, along with what we said about denying himself, we see that he was truly a leader who cared for the people he was leading. He felt for these people. He sacrificed for these people. And in this, we see a leader who truly cared for the people he was leading. Oh, do we not need that today? What I mean by that is this. If you're a leader of any kind in your home, or if you're a leader of any kind in this church, You should strive to be like Nehemiah and truly love the people God has given you to lead. If you're a pastor, that's me. Now, I'm going to tell you something, folks. It's going to be hard to believe considering who you are. I'm just kidding, okay? I'm just kidding. That's a joke. But it's amazing. I was talking to Brother Bob. By the way, I'll talk about our workers on the mission trip tonight because Brother Bob, Miss Lindsay's not in here. And I want to say something in front of the church, in front of them. They did a great job leading this, all these kind of, Brother Bob. Remind me tonight and I'll tell you a funny story about Brother Bob anyway. Anyway, where I'm going with this is this. I told Brother Bob this week, I was looking at these 10 teenagers that was on this trip. I realized Ben is a teenager, but he went as a counselor, ate everything we had. But. Right, Ben? Gotcha. Anyway, I looked at Bob and I said this. I said, you know, I was looking at them kids and I said, it's amazing how as a pastor, and I kind of stopped. Brother Bob finished my sentence and said, he pretty much said, you feel like they're your own children? I said, you're exactly right. You know, it's amazing the love that God puts in a pastor's heart. Isn't that right, preacher? And I'm going to tell you something. You may not believe this. I may not be proving it. I'm trying to work on it. But I love you. I do. God's put a love in my heart for you. Now, I'm going to tell you something. That's why whenever it's 5 o'clock in the morning and some of you all are going to surgery and you look at me and say, oh, you don't have to get up that early. I appreciate that. But folks, unless I pass out or something like that, we're going to be there. Let me tell you why it's a privilege to come and pray with you before surgery. That's a privilege. That's a privilege. And what I'm saying to you is this. If the people know you love them, they'll put up with you. Amen. So I love you. 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 I know that's something you prove more than you say, and I know that, but you do need to hear your pastor tell you, too, that he loves you. I love you. I care about you. And what I'm saying to you is this, folks, whether you're a pastor, a bus captain, a Sunday school teacher, a children's worker, a nursery worker, a deacon, an usher, a staff member, are you listening to me? Let's get on our face and beg God to give us a love for our people. Amen. We need it. You know what those precious bus kids need? They need a teacher who loves them. You know what our church kids need? I'm talking about in this church. I know their mom and dad love them. But I'm talking about in this church. They need a mom and dad and a Sunday school teacher and a children's worker and a nursery worker who loves them. You know, it's amazing how even children Jalen's age knows who loves them. They know. They know, folks. By the way, you can't hide it. You know, we have leaders today who don't... Listen, I don't know who they are. I don't have anybody in mind, but I guarantee you in this world there are leaders who can't stand the people they're leading. They can't even stand them. So they drive them down in the mud. Are you listening to me? A true leader leads. He doesn't drive. Do you understand what I just said? He doesn't drive his people. He leads his people. He loves his people. He feeds his people. And I'm saying, may God help the leaders in this church and the husbands and the parents in the home. May we get on our faces and beg God to keep the love of his people in our heart that he's given us the privilege to lead. Nehemiah loved his people. And because he loved them, he had no problem sacrificing for them. Now, what kind of a leader would I be if when somebody said, you know, I'm having surgery, God bless you. I'm not going to get up that early for you. You crazy? I'll send preacher. He's up anyway. Amen. What am I saying? I'm saying when you really love somebody, you don't mind to deny yourself and sacrifice for them. By the way, who's the ultimate example of that? You got it. Did he love you? Did he prove it? How? He sacrificed himself. That's how. You know what we need? We need some people who just love other people. Love God first. Because when you love him, he'll love others through you. See what I'm saying? You love him first, he'll love others through you. Nehemiah was a man who said, I love my people and I will not make their burden heavier, I'll make it lighter. That's a great lesson for leaders to learn right there, folks. Let me give you the last lesson. Here, this is all under the character of the leader. We notice he had character that he denied himself. He lived in the fear of God. He worked on the wall. He cared and sacrificed for the people. But then number 5, verse number 19 tells us he wanted God's approval. He wanted God's approval. We see this in verse 19. Look at it. Think upon me, my God, for good, according to all that I've done for this people. This is precious. Here's what he's doing. I'm paraphrasing it. Nehemiah steps on the scene. He is rebuking these people earlier in this chapter because some people are being greedy. They can't pay their taxes. Their children's being taken as collateral, and some of their own people are taking advantage of them. Nehemiah steps on the scene. He rebukes them. He confronts the sin. Then he starts giving his own personal testimony how he denied himself. He loves them and sacrifices for them. How he's living in the fear of God. How he's working on the wall himself. But then really you see the secret to his life in this point. Why did Nehemiah do this? Yes, because he feared God, sure. But what was he after? Was he after the applause of the people? Oh, our leader is so good. Thank you, Nehemiah. Thank you. Thank you. You listening? He wasn't after the applause of the people. He didn't do that so people would look at him and say, what a leader Nehemiah is. That's what a lot of people do it for. He was doing it in verse number 19. He tells us why. He simply says, think upon me, O God, for all this that I've done. You know what that tells me? Nehemiah was trying to please one person and one person only. He's trying to please the Lord. You know, I remember hearing Tom Farrell one time. I believe he was preaching at a preacher's fellowship. I believe it was a meeting we was having here, but a preacher's fellowship away from here. I believe it was during that meeting that he made this statement. He said, I preach for the audience of one. Now think about his statement. Now Tom Farrell's a preacher, folks. He is a preaching machine. But he says, I am not out to please man. I am preaching to please God. Folks, Nehemiah had been good to these hurting people. He had set aside his own rights in order to do the right thing. He was a man that had sacrificed for these people. However, it's interesting to note how he did not want any reward from man. He rather wanted the Lord to simply think about him. He just simply said, think upon me. Just think about me, God. What a leader this man was. I'm talking about this. He wanted the Lord's approval on his life. Preacher, you may not even remember this. You said this years ago. You said when the Lord calls you home, if he doesn't come first, we pray that the Lord comes first, amen. But you said from this pulpit a long time ago, I want somebody, in a nutshell, I want somebody to get up at my funeral and say, he had the smile of God on his life. Do you remember saying that? I remember you saying, I have never forgotten that. God's implanted that in my mind. He's implanted that in my heart. Now, I'm going to tell you something. And I'm not here to uplift my Moses. But this is the secret to why he spent 46 plus years in this church. It's the secret to why all the trouble that he went through, his heart's not bitter, he's soft. And he helps you and comes along beside you and puts his arm around you and says, I've been there, I've done that, I can help you with this. God is good. Let me tell you why he does it. Because he has one thing in his mind. He wants the smile of God. That's it. That's it. You say, Jody, you're simple. Thank you. Because I've learned something. If you can't understand it, it's not going to help you. And I'm telling you that Nehemiah was after one thing and one thing only, and that is, does this make God smile? That's convicting. I want to ask you a question. I know I'm eye level with most of you right now. Is your life bringing a smile to the face of God? Let me tell you why Nehemiah was a man of character. He wanted God's approval on his life. That's powerful. And that's what we all need. Let me tell you this. If you're out to please God, it simplifies life. Let me prove to you what I'm talking about. I said this in my Sunday school class this morning. If my boy or my girl came up to my wife and I and said, Mama, Daddy, we're tired of rebelling. And yes, they rebel. They're sinners. You understand what I mean? Our life is yours. We're going to make you smile from now on. Whatever you say goes. If you want us to do that, we'll do that. If you want us to go there, we'll go there. There'll be no more delays. It'll be yes, sir, yes, ma'am. Whatever you're calling the shots. Do you understand what that would do for me? But at the same time, do you understand how that simplifies their life? Their life. Why? Because they don't have any decisions to make. They simply come to the feet of their daddy or come to the feet of their mom and say, what do I do next? Where do you want me to go now? Now, are you following where I'm going with this? What do you want me to wear now? What kind of music do you want me to listen to? Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to be? I'll do whatever you want me to do. Listen, when you're in life to please God, your life is simplified. Because you go to God and say, he's told me to do that. It's yes, sir, I'll go do it. And the peace of God rules in your life. Wait a minute. He's told you to go soul winning. So you go. Even if you feel like you can't do it, you do it anyway. Why? Because it pleases God. You go. He helped you. The peace of God rules in your life. I'm saying live for the approval of God Almighty. Are you living to please God? Or are you living to please self? Now, what do you think a majority of people are living for? Just look around, folks. We need to live for the approval of God. Amen? This is Nehemiah. Now, in this chapter of Nehemiah, there are so many lessons to learn from. And these lessons we've learned from is the cry of the people, the confrontation of the sin, the character of the leader in that he denied himself, he lived in the fear of God, he worked on the wall. In this, he loved and sacrificed for his people, and he wanted the approval of God. And may the Lord take every one of these lessons, and may he make us men and women of character. Amen. That's what we need. May the Lord give it to us. Let's all bow our heads, please, and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, take this simple thought. Thank you for giving my body strength today. Thank you for helping me. And I pray, our Father, that you'll use this in a mighty way. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. I'm going to ask two or three, possibly questions or so. As soon as they get prepared, they're going to begin to play through softly. In a crowd this size, it is possible that there may be one, two, or maybe even more than that who does not know the Lord as your Savior. Matter of fact, let me ask it this way. How many of you know for sure, without a doubt? Now listen, you can lie to me, but you cannot lie to God. He already knows. Have you know without a doubt, if you drop dead right now or Jesus went to the eastern sky, you know without a doubt that heaven is your home. You've trusted Christ and Christ alone. You're born again, no doubt about it. You're heaven bound. Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand and be an honest person? Thank you. Put your hands back there. Is there one today? Say, Jody, would you pray for me? And by the way, if you raise your hand to this, I'm not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to try to drag you down the aisle. I just need to know how to proceed so we can be the best help to you that we possibly can. Is there one today? Say, Jody, would you pray for me? I could not raise my hand to that question. I could not raise my hand saying, I'm a Christian. I'm born again. I know without a doubt that heaven's my home. I cannot raise my hand to that. Be honest. Be honest. Anybody at all like that? Be honest. Would you raise your hand in the air, please? Anybody at all? I'm looking. You say, Jody, pray for me. I need to make sure I'm a Christian. I need to make sure I'm saved. Anybody at all? I'm looking. Eyes are surfing. And let me ask you this question. Are you a Christian with character? Do you really, really, really have character? Are you denying yourself? Are you working on the wall? Are you living in the fear of God? Are you loving and sacrificing for others? And are you living for the approval of God and God alone?
Have you be honest and say, Jody, I need this. And I believe God may be speaking to me. Be an honest person. You say, Jody, I need this. Be honest. Would you raise your hand in the air with mine, please? You say, this is what I need. God bless you. May the Lord help you with this. In just a moment, we're going to stand and pray. As soon as we stand, I'm going to pray. As soon as I say amen, they're going to keep playing. Brother Gary's going to begin singing. If God is dealing with you, I want you to leave your place and come. Let's all stand together, please. Our Father, we love you today. We ask that you help us now. Take full control of this service. May the will of God be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Brother Gary's singing. Come on, folks. Say something to you. I'm tired of the mediocrity. I'm sick of it. In my own life, I'm tired of just going through the motions. I'm tired of just putting it on coast. My body's worn out. God's shown me great lessons these last 2 weeks. And that is, put everything to the side and you focus on Him and His word and His will. Souls are saved. Lives are changed. We had 7 young men in the meeting in Florida. Now keep in mind, this is with about 20 teenagers, just 20 teenagers, right about. 7 young men surrendered to give their life to be a preacher. One of them's in this auditorium. It's not my place to tell you, it's His place. As a matter of fact, if He feels led to do this, this is up to Him. I don't want Him feeling any pressure at all. This is a decision that would encourage the church. And if He feels the Lord is in it, I want to invite Him to come. So I'm that young man who feels like God's calling me to preach. I'm tired of just coasting. Let's put the pedal to the metal. Let's see what God can do. Amen. Brother Gary's going to sing the next verse. If the Lord's dealing with you, if that young man wants to come, I don't want you feeling any pressure. But if you feel like the Lord is in it, I want to invite you to come. Maybe somebody wants to bring your family and say, you know, let's put our all on the altar like this song's talking about. Let's give God everything we've got. Let's praise Him. As Brother Gary sings, if God's in this, why don't you come? As He sings,
would you walk with the Lord in the light of His word and have peace and contentment always? You must do His sweet will to be free from all ill. On the altar, all you must lay. Is your blood on the altar of
service. I talked to him and he started tearing up. Boy, I like that. You know, I like to see him. God has special things in store for this young man.
show him what he wants him to do. We had a testimony meeting with our with the young men that went, Matthew and Brent, CJ, Ben, myself, and Brother Bob. It's great to see those young men praising God for what they've done in their life. Teenagers. It's thrilling, isn't it? Have you happy for CJ? CJ, say a big amen. Now, we don't look alike, do we? Because he's been calling me his daddy all week. Say it one time for him.
Dad.
There it is. I've been hearing that all week long. We love CJ. Amen. Have you been praying for CJ? Be honest. You're going to pray for him. Amen. That's a great thing. Now, he had on his arm, I'm going to embarrass him here, he had on his arm FPOBRBC, which stands for Future Pastor of Buffalo Ridge Baptist. He's ambitious about it, you know. We're proud of you, no doubt about it. I'm going to ask our preacher, if you don't mind, Brother Gary, if you don't mind, maybe some of the deacons, if you don't mind to do this. I'm going to have you just kneel right here, CJ. Is your parents in the congregation? Okay, I'll tell you what I want to do. Somebody run out there and get the Buchanans right quick. Would you do that? Let's do this quickly. Somebody run outside and get Mr. and Mrs. Buchanan. Tell them to come in here. I think this is appropriate to have the mom and daddy in here, don't you? This will be good. This will be our closing prayer. My Moses is going to come pray over you. That's a great thing. And I want your mom and daddy up here with you. And if some of you deacons want to come, I want you to come now. Would you do that? Go ahead and make your way up here. Our preacher's going to come and pray for you. Amen. Isn't this great? Praise the Lord for it. Wait on your family, and then we'll pray with you right here, okay? Bear with me just a moment. This wasn't in my plans, okay? So just bear with me just a moment. Those hot dogs and hamburgers will still taste good when you get there. That's good. Why don't you be seated just a moment, okay? This will be our closing prayer as soon as his mom and dad get in here. Amen. Amen. How many of you are bringing a cooler of ice cream tonight? Would you raise your hand? You're bringing one of those? May the Lord bless every one of you. Says amen, you're dismissed, okay? God bless you. Thank you for being here.
Our Heavenly Father, we
thank you for this fine young man. God, he surrendered. I remember that time in Mississippi when I got up at midnight, went out and surrendered to preach the gospel. And Father, I just pray that you'd take CJ and give him a principle within to please God and to live a holy life. And I pray that the smile of God may rest upon. Lord, I know you can use him if you'll just bless him. Lord, help him to yield his talents to thee. And Lord, his future, if you withhold your coming, he has a future in front of him. And would you smile upon him? Equip him to go out and be a servant of Jesus Christ and have a fear of God and go forth with the smile of God upon him. I pray you'd anoint him with the blessed Holy Spirit. Lord, we need help from above as we go out to serve you. And bless his parents. Bless this church. May they stand behind him. And God bless him and use him mightily, we pray, to lift up Jesus and be faithful to the word of God and to live a holy life in front of the people he ministers to. Bless him now and help him and go with him. We pray, we commit him to thee. In Jesus' sweet, wonderful name, we pray. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being your servants. And God, may this young, dear young man, CJ, be a humble servant of God all the days of his life. We beg you in Jesus' sweet name. Amen.